So we're looking now at Hilchos Sukkah Siman Tov Reish Lamed Tes. This is one of the most famous simanim in all of Hilchos Sukkah, because here the Mechaber and the Ramah want to focus on how to fulfill the mitzvah of Sukkah. And we started with Sif Aleph, and we discussed in Sif Aleph the tension, so to speak, between Teshvu Kein Taduru on the one hand, which means I shall live in the sukkah the way I live in my house and do everything, and on the other hand, the Kedushas HaSukkah, which requires that I curtail my activities in the sukkah, because there's certain activities which, even though I would do it in my home, I would not do it in a place that's sanctified with Kedusha, and this sukkah has Kedusha, and therefore, so how do we reconcile between these two polar extremes? That was our discussion on Monday. And we came to the conclusion that there's a concept called Tashmish Bozui, that there's certain activities which are considered a little bit humiliating, you know, so to speak. I mean, we have to do it because we are biological beings, but we don't do them in a Makom Kadosh. We take them out of the Makom Kadosh. So we spoke about, for example, relieving oneself. That's something that should be done outside the sukkah, not in the sukkah. We had a long discussion about Tashmish Hamita, about relations between a husband and wife. We came to the conclusion that that's not a Tashmish Bozui, that that's considered a mitzvah. It's part of Ona, it's part of Simchas Yontif, and that should be done, obviously, in privacy, but in the sukkah. And then we discussed... Yes, that was the discussion that we had 2 days ago, and then we discussed certain things that shouldn't be taken into the sukkah because of the Kedusha sukkah. For example, if you have dirty dishes, right? What do you say? Pots and pans, like cooking utensils and used utensils. You know, try to get them out of the sukkah as soon as you can. You know, don't leave them around. Anything that attracts bugs or flies is repulsive. Get it out of the sukkah. Maintain the decorum of the sukkah. Be careful about what you speak in the sukkah. The Mishnah Berurah gives this whole presentation about v'dibarta bam. You should speak dvarim shel Torah, shel kedusha in the sukkah. We're allowing you to shmooze in the sukkah, but be careful, says the Mishnah Berurah, not to speak lashon hara. You know, and this is all because of the kedusha of the sukkah. What about bringing phones into the sukkah? So that, I think, should be allowed. As again, you have to be very careful about what you say on the phone. But if you know, if you would normally speak on the phone in your house, and the sukkah for these 7 days is your home, then you certainly want to bring a phone into the sukkah. I remember seeing one of the Gedolei Yisrael here in Yerushalayim in his sukkah, and he was talking on the phone. He had a cell phone in his sukkah. Why should I have to get up? And on the contrary, he says, bring your Yisfarim into the sukkah, you know, Yisfarim that you will need. Obviously, you don't want to clutter up the sukkah. You know, to get a balcony porch for a sukkah is a whole to do. And then you want to bring in all your Yisfarim, you won't have any room to breathe. But, you know, even before the Chag, make sure that you have a little Yisfarim shank, you know, bring in also whatever you need for bedding. You know, don't wait till the last minute. Bring in your mattress or your fold up cot and your pajamas. You know, bring it all in before the Chag, so that you want to minimize the amount of time you spend outside the sukkah, maximize the time you spend in the sukkah. What about what's called an achilas haroi or a shenas haroi? For example, sometimes you chop a dribble, you know, a short little power nap or something like that. And sometimes you take a nash. So we said the following, and this was really counterintuitive, it was a real chiddush, that we're more mekel in achila than we are in shena. The Torah is more demanding and harsh and strict with regard to sleeping. And the Mechaber says that you shouldn't sleep outside the sukkah. This is what we discussed. Shenas Aroi, even a couple of minutes, you should not sleep outside the sukkah. And that's a problem for those people who learn in a base medrash during sukkahs. A lot of us do that because it's very hard, you know, to organize all your chavrusa learning or whatever you're learning in the sukkah. So you go to a base medrash, and that's okay. But then all of a sudden you get a little tired in the middle of the learning and you start dribbling away there. You know, that's a shenas haroi which should be taken into the sukkah.
Isn't shenas haroi mamar sleeping, not that
I don't know. I'm not sure. I think anything would be included under the shenas haroi. What about achilas haroi? They were very makil that you can eat outside the sukkah. So, for example, we have three categories. If you remember, as far as water is concerned, you know, mayim, that's always by definition considered haroi. It's considered temporary. But then we spoke about yayin. Yayin might have a different status, even though l'chor yayin is nothing more than fruit juice. But in halacha, yayin gets a special status, and you could be koveh sudal yayin. So if you drink a small amount of wine, a very, very small amount of wine, then generally speaking, everybody agrees you can drink that outside the sukkah. But what happens if you drink a larger amount of wine, like a revi is 4.4 ounces? Or what happens if you drink biderech keva? You know, it's really a major part of your meal. Then it could be that's called koveh sudal yayin. And yayin we see as a special status. We've discussed kiddush al yayin. We discussed havdol al yayin. All brachos of what's called a birchas hamitzvah al hayayin, like milah. We take a cup of wine for the bris milah and we make it. Or for example, nisuin at the time of marriage, we have it on a cup of wine. We see that yayin has a special status.
And in the context of sukkah, why is yayin any different than soda, apple juice?
Oh, so let's take for example cookies. Water, am I allowed to eat cookies outside the sukkah?
Yeah, but he does say.
Am I allowed to eat pizza outside the sukkah? Let's say a mazonos. So the poskim say that even though if I eat a small, limited amount of cookies, I can eat it outside the sukkah, but once I eat a kibetza plus, then it becomes a kviyas suda. You could actually be koveh suda. And now we have machlokas, can you be koveh suda al yayin? And you and I might think, wait a minute, how can I be koveh suda al yayin? It's not a motzi lechem in aretz, it's a bor priya gofen.
No,
but the halacha says that there is such a thing as being koveh suda al yayin. In fact, with regard to Kiddush by day, on Shabbos and Yom Tov, which is called Kiddusha Rabbah, there is a whole slew of poskim. Again, I'm not saying halacha l'maisa, but a very mechubedika, you know, Yehudim Chashuvim, who are of the opinion that even if you have no mezonos, and you have no bread or whatever, you could be makadish ala yayin, and if you drink a revius of yayin, that itself is a kviyasu, then you were yotze kiddush, v'makom suda, based on the yayin alone. So again, I'm not saying we paskin like that. You know, maybe the shas adchak, if you really have no mezonos, maybe you can rely on that, but you know, that has to be studied in Hilchos Kiddush, that's
ratio. What about any other
mashal in general? In other words, do you have to go, you're conveying, in other words, if you just go in for a cup of wine, and there's no anything else, now maybe from this we're saying, because you can't convey a suda on it, then yayin is separate from water,
Now I'm talking about a case where you were convey a suda on yayin. Like, for example, in different countries, like in France, again, I'm not French, but my mother-in-law lived after the war in France for 5 years. She told me there was no such thing as a suda without yayin, not in France. And nobody got drunk. Nobody got drunk. It was part of it was the mainstay of the meal.
What happens if you have your mates over and you sit and drink some beers?
Beer, oh, that's interesting.
What's the difference between yayin?
Beer is what's called chamra de medina, but it's not a kviyas suda. Two different concepts. They sound similar, but they're fundamentally different. Let me explain. Kviyas suda is a halacha in what's called brach achrona. Brach achrona means the achila is so significant that when we partake of this achila as a group, we become a unit. That unit is called a zimun. And that's all based on what's called kviyas suda. For example, you're not allowed to be koveh suda on Motzi Shabbos until you make havdalah. Or, for example, on Friday, you're not allowed, once the sun sets, or once it's Seis HaKochav, again, there are different opinions, you're not allowed to be koveh suda until after Kiddush. So, as far as all those dinim of kviyas suda is concerned, yayin has a special status, pas has a special status, but beer does not. Where is the special status of beer? That's called Chamra de Medina. Chamra de Medina has nothing to do with Kviyas Suda. Let's not confuse the two. It doesn't mean that because it's Chamra de Medina, therefore you can be Koveh Suda on it. That's not a Suda. You know, beer is not a Suda. You know, again, some people get very full on beer. You know, we have something called a beer belly. You know, but that's not a Suda halacha. That's halacha of Chamra de Medina, which is halacha in Hilchas Brachos. Has nothing to do with Zimun, has nothing to do with Suda, it has to do with what's called Shira. Shira means that sometimes we have to sing a song of praise, and the song of praise has to be established on a cup of some significant liquid that has status to it. That's called Chamra de Medina. And for example, it could very well be that under the chuppah, when the Rav takes a cup and he's Masada Kedushin, he says, etc. It could be a cup of beer would be fine for that. Why? Not because of Suda. What is getting married have to do with the Suda? Again, Birchas Nesuin might be something else, but I'm talking about Birchas Erisin. Right. The first bracha on the mitzvah of Erisin. So that bracha, the minig is to establish on a kaz. Does it have to be yayin? I would say no. Any chamer de medina is good. Beer would be okay. I never saw it done, but...
Why would chamer de medina be good at a wedding if it's not good on... Mekadesh and Shabbos. In other words, not Yotzei.
It depends what you mean by being Mekadesh and Shabbos, but let's assume that Kiddush for Shabbos requires Suda. That's called Ein Kiddush Ella B'makom Suda. That has nothing to do with getting married. There's no such halacha of Suda. Whenever the halacha of being Mesadar Akos is for Suda, then we need something that can be Koveh Suda.
Which is
Pas or Yayin. But when the halacha is not a Suda halacha.
On Shabbos, we're adding the Kedusha of the Yayin. In other words, Kiddush is the sanctification of Shabbos, and it only has to be done through one.
The sanctification of the Shabbos is during Tefillah. That's in Shul. Right. But when we get home, Kiddush is not sanctification. Kiddush is setting up a Suda Shabbos. And that can only be done on something that has the power of Kviyas Suda. Beer might be great, and it's Chamra de Medina, but you can't be Koveh Suda on beer.
So
Kiddush is different.
But I'm saying on Shabbos, we could say, we could still be Koveh Suda, and let's say not make Kiddush on Yain, according to that Svara.
Well, how would you be Koveh Suda? You need either Pas or Yain.
So I'm saying you just wash for Hamotzi and not make Kiddush. It would still be Suda.
So Chazal say that on Friday night, again, you have to know why it's different on Shabbos day, that it's not enough to be Koveh Suda. You have to convert that Suda into a Suda Shabbos. So during the week, I can wash and I can be Koveh Suda. I don't have to make any Kiddush. On Shabbos, I want to change the nature of that Suda and upgrade it to the status of a Suda Shabbos.
And that's why you need the wine.
And not only the wine, but that's why I need the recitation of Kiddush.
Yeah, you're fine. Yeah. So that's why I'm saying also, bringing that point now to the wedding, how a Chamra de Medina... Maybe I'm wrong, keep in mind
that the wedding has nothing to do with Suda. Again, in Kiddush we need to be Koveh Suda, and that Suda has to be upgraded to a Suda Shabbos. I need two elements. Element number one is something on which I can be Koveh Suda, whether it's Yayin or Pas. And number two, I need the Amiras HaBrocha. That sets up my Suda as the Suda Shabbos.
Right.
But with regard to marriage, there's no need for a Suda. He's just being Mekadesh and Isha. In fact, the Gemara says you can be Mekadesh and Isha on Tisha B'Av even. There's no din of Suda. But there's a din, and this is again based on a minog, but again you have to know exactly what it means, a koshel bracha. But there's a din of a koshel bracha that has nothing to do with Suda, and that requires the chshivas of a kos. The chshivas of a kos, when it's not related to Suda, again I can't repeat myself too many times, less than the amount of times I should repeat myself, but when it has nothing to do with the Suda, it's just to be koveh the bracha ala kos, but it has nothing to do with the Suda, then it's aloch of chamra de medina. For example, the classical case would be Birchas Erusin, that the minig is to make that Birchas Erusin into a bracha that's nikba alakos, has nothing to do with Suda, then Chamra de Medina, then you can talk about it. Does Havdalah have to do with the Suda? Does it not have to do with the Suda? Let's assume that Havdalah has nothing to do with the Suda. Can I use beer for Havdalah?
Sure.
Why not? I have to be Koveh, my Birchas Havdalah ala Kos. Chamra de Medina is a Kos. It has nothing to do with Suda. I'm not going home to eat a Suda now. I mean, I have a lot of Malka, but it has nothing to do with Suda. Correct.
But my question is, in that context of Erison, I guess we're saying no, you have no concept. In other words, it's really only a Koshel Bracha.
So correct.
Alcohol could work. There's no concept of connecting
the Eris into some kind of Kedusha.
Of Seuda. Of Seuda. Yeah, that's the key word. Forget about Kedusha. The word is Seuda.
No,
it is my kos that I'm about to recite a bracha on. Is that related to a Seuda? If it's related to a Seuda, then the kos has to be Yayin. If it's related to something other than a Seuda,
Why do you need the kosher bracha to begin with? That's an interesting question. But that's not for us now. Right.
When did the minhag evolve? When and why? What are the parameters of what we call a kosher bracha? For example, milah. Is milah a kosher bracha? And if it is, does it have anything to do with Seuda at all? If it doesn't, again, there is a mitzvah of Seuda and Mila, but I don't know if the kos has anything to do with the Seuda, then Chamer de Medina would be fine. And maybe Coca-Cola would be okay. Maybe orange juice would be okay. And certainly beer would be okay, you know, if it's good beer. But I don't know. That's, you have to know. You have to really analyze the halach of kosher bracha in every single context, whenever required kosher bracha. Is it connected to a Seuda? Is it not connected to a Seuda? Okay, Rabbi, so wait a minute. Let's go on. On the top of page 207, what about drinking water? Says the Mechaber, Misha Yachmir al Atzmo v'lo yishte chutz l'suda, chutz l'suka, afilu mayim, hareza meshubach. The Mechaber gives brownie points, and he recognizes a person and gives them credit for not drinking water outside the sukkah. What it means is the following. Halacha divides into two categories, chova and kiyum. There's a chovas ha-mitzvah and there's a kiyum ha-mitzvah. And they're not identical. For example, women are exempt from many, many mitzvahs. They don't have the chova, but they have the kiyum ha-mitzvah. Now, whether you can make a bracha on a mitzvah which is only a kiyum without a chova, I don't know. That's a gigantic controversy. And basically boils down to the Ashkenazim versus the Sfaradim, but it goes back to Rabbeinu Tam versus the Rambam. I mean, this is really a deep, deep, profound sugi. Whether you could say Asher Kitsharim and Sosa Vitzivanu when there's no chova, I'm not obligated. I'm not Nilot Tzivanu, I'm Nilot Mitzvah. I'm opting voluntarily for a mitzvah. Can I make Vitzivanu? And logically, and you know, intuitively, I would have said, no, how can you save it some money? You're not obligated. But Rabbeinu Tam broke new ground, and he said, no. Even without a chova, you could make a bracha vitzivanu for some odd reason. We don't know why. And even a woman who's not obligated in lulav could recite a bracha asher kitzharim sol tzivanu al tilus lulav, and she has a kiyuma mitzvah. Therefore, the bracha is justified. Says the Mechaber, you know what? Drinking water on sukkahs is not a chova sukkah, but it's a kiyum mitzvah sukkah. And therefore, hareza meshubach. I'll give you an example where we find this language of hareza meshubach. Kol amarbel esaper b'yitzias mitzrayim, hareza meshubach. What does it mean? I was yotzei my mitzvah, CPTs. I read through the Haggadah, you know, it's midnight and I want to go to sleep, but I push myself and I speak about the different midrashim and I learn about the halachas of Pesach and I expand and I embellish my mitzvah. I raise a mishubah. There's no chovah. You already achieved and you obtained your obligation. You fulfilled your obligation. You discharged your duty. But now you want to embellish the mitzvah. You want to extend beyond. Is hareza meshubach. There's an unbelievable nitziv, mivalojin, with a chiddush which I never understood. The nitziv says that on Leil HaPesach you eat one kezayis matzah and you yotze. But if you eat more than a kezayis, hareza meshubach. Wow. I don't know where he gets that from. A kiyum mitzvah to eat more than a kezayis. I was yotzei already. What does he want from me? Fine. Cash. Leave that as a question. That's the nitziv. You'll invite me back to give another shiur. I'll try to say a shiur on this nitziv. But let me ask you a different question. Can a person, according to the Mechaber, make a bracha when he drinks water in the sukkah? I don't know. Is he going that far? He's saying, afilu mayim hareza meshubach.
What bracha does he make?
So first of all, the Mechaber in general says that there's no such thing as a bracha on a kiyum mitzvah without a chovas mitzvah. So this isn't really relevant to the Mechaber per se. But I want to know for me, as an Ashkenazic Jew who relies on Rabbeinu Tam, and I make a bracha on a kiyuva mitzvah without a kiyuva mitzvah, can I make a bracha on drinking water in the sukkah? So you should know that the Gaon Mivilna was of the opinion that as soon as you come into the sukkah, I don't care whether you eat, drink, sleep, or anything, it doesn't bother me anymore, you make a bracha. And my mother in a second marriage to Rabbi Yeshua Cohen, they're both gone, my mother and Rabbi Yeshua Cohen. Rabbi Yeshua Cohen used to follow the Gaon. He was seven generations Yerushalmi. And he would make a bracha when he came into the sukkah. He didn't wait for me to bring out the mezonos. You know, when we have guests in sukkahs, you know, we bring out the mezonos, so macha bracha on the sukkah. No, he followed the vinegar Gaon.
Sit down and make a bracha.
Right. So again, if I ask the question, can I make a bracha aleishiv asuk on mayim? Then certainly according to the Gaon, that's not an issue. I don't even have to drink water. But if we don't follow the Gaon, and the answer is, I think, in order to make a bracha, even if we hold like Rabbeinu Tam, you need what's called a yeshiva shel keva, a kvius. Water is not a kvius. It might be a kiyum of yeshiva in the strict sense. You know, it's the bare bones yeshiva. But it's not a yeshiva shel keva. The bracha was established on a yeshiva kvua. Kvua means there has to be some sort of significance or permanence to the yeshiva. And having a drink of water, with all due respect, is not considered kvius. That's why, for example, very fascinating, our minhag evolved that we don't make a bracha when we come to sleep in the sukkah. Let's say, for example, you ate your meals in Sukkah X. Now you come to Sukkah Y just to sleep. The minig is, not like the Gaon, we don't make a bracha. Why? And the answer somehow is that achila is considered kvius. Shena is not, it lacks that kvius. It reminds me of the Ran that we discussed. That the Ran says that even if mitzvah seidum tzrichas kavana, even if mitzvah tzrichas kavana, in achila you don't need kavana. Achila has a certain kvius to it, a certain significance.
Which is actually even more ironic here, because on the achila is what we're making the leishev.
Correct, and we make the leishev on achila. V'tavshil ha'osu mi'chamesh sabinim. Right. Let's say you make some sort of an oatmeal. What do they call that? Daisa, you know. Yeah. What's it called?
Daisa. No,
but in English, there's a word for it.
Farina,
yeah, that kind of stuff.
Hot cereal.
Yeah, hot cereal. It's made of chameshes minim. He says, im kovea olav, if that's going to be the mainstay of his meal, chashiv keva, v'tzarech sukkah. He would have to require a sukkah. You see, on this, the mechaber would say, make a bracha. Because here it has kvius. Once it has the element of kvius, then it's not just a kiyuv mitzvah, but it's a chiyuv mitzvah. Right. Again, he doesn't use the word chayuv b'sukkah, but he says tzarech sukkah. I don't know why he says tzarech sukkah. Let's go back to Sif Aleph. Does he use the word chayuv? Let me just see. Just 1 second. Okay, I don't know. Maybe it's not such a big deal because I don't see the word chayev before, but he says tzarech sukkah. If you take a look at the Mishnah Berurah, pirish midina. You see the Mishnah Berurah number tes zayin. He says that what we mean is midina. Oh, v'alkein tzarech levarech leishev basukkah. He has to make a bracha on the sukkah. Now, what does it mean when the Mechaber says in Koveya Olav Choshiv Keva? So the Mishnah Berurah in the previous Sif in Tesvav, he says, Ratzalom Sha'ochlin B'chabura. Interesting. This is like my paradigm from France, you know, where they get together and they have a meal, and there's a group. That itself makes it into a kvius.
Oh, by yourself?
No, but by yourself comes under the next possibility. Oh, even if he's not in a chabur, he's by himself. Sha'ochel shir choshuv. He eats a significant amount. The third line. Oh, I don't know if you have the same print. Is choshuv shekoveya seuda bazeh. So the two ways of being koveya seuda with a tavshil shel chamesh saminu. One way is when you eat together with a group, that's called chabura. And the other way is when you eat a certain volume. How much is considered a significant amount? So with regard to pas, if as long as he eats more than A kibetza, that's considered kvius. But with regard to a tavshil, which has chameshes meaning dogma, but it's not bread, it's a mizonos, it's not a hamotzi, so then he says you have to eat a larger volume. The ayin be Magen Avraham, shehikshal zevedaito the dino mamish kmo pas. The Magen Avraham disagrees with this first opinion, and he says no. A tavshil shall basar shall chamesh mina dogan has the same identical status as a pas, and therefore, once you eat from this tavshil more than a kibetza, you are obligated in sukkah. You make the bracha leishah b'sukkah. That's called kvius. Das Achronim, the later commentaries and poskim, they say the ein levarech rak sheyikba olav seuda. He says that has to be a meal, not a snack. Meaning, let's say, for example, if he eats a little bit of oatmeal, you know, a kibetza plus of oatmeal between breakfast and lunch, you know, what we call he has a brunch, you know. Yeah, here they call it a
pachot mi kibetza. He takes one bite. That's it.
No, I'm saying something else. He eats more than a kibetza, but he eats it in between meals. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like Aruchat Eser, are you familiar with that? You know, they give you, sometimes you need a little extra fuel in the system. So he says in that case, the Achronim say you don't make a bracha. That's not called a Kviya Suda because there are three Sudas during the day. Again, there may be people somewhere in the world or even here who eat four sudas during the day, but most people will eat maximum three sudas. My father told me that back in Europe, there were people who ate only two sudas a day. Again, they were very poor also, keep in mind. I mean, my grandparents supported the family with the milk of a goat. They owned a goat. So they were very poor. I mean, we have one picture from Poland, you know, and you see the log cabin that's...
From where?
From Plisa, it was near Vilna. It was sometimes it was Poland, sometimes Lithuania. It depends who won the war that day. You know.
My mother and her brother were born in the same city, but different country.
Different country, you
say. Lvorodok. My grandfather went to Lvorodok.
So that's not part of Litva, that's part of Poland. It depends on who won the war, right? V'da'odeskimukamachronim denochel lahachmir milechol basar v'dogim ugvina chutz l'sukkah. He says that some of the Achronim say you shouldn't even eat meat, fish, or cheese outside the sukkah. But dafka b'kfius. You know, if he's really eating, you know, like sometimes I come home and I say to my wife, you know, I haven't eaten yet, so she says, I'll make you an egg. You know, and she makes a chavita, you know, an omelet. That's already a shtukl kfius. That should be eaten in the sukkah. But below kfius, you know, sometimes you just hop around a little snack, you know, you're standing on 2 feet and you grab a polka or something, you know, a little piece of gefilte fish, that's not considered kfius and ein lahachmir klal. Now, again, you know, you have to be careful here because, you know, there are chumras here that are in opposite directions. You want to be machmir and eat in the sukkah, and the mechaber recommends even a cup of water. But on the other hand, we want to be machmir and not make a bracha on the sukkah unless we absolutely have to or we are justified in making the bracha. Again, I'm assuming we don't pass like the Gaon, the Vilna Gaon who made a bracha when he came into the sukkah. Once we pass like Rabbi Natan that you need a kfius in order to make a bracha, then on the one hand you want to say in cases X, Y, and Z, let's be machmir and bring it into the sukkah. You know, you had a piece of fish, bring it into the sukkah. You had a bapolki, bring it into the sukkah. But on the other hand, you have to be machmir not to make the bracha unless you're absolutely convinced that it has a kfius. It's like the case where somebody walks outside of the shul and he hears the shofar. He absolutely, or not outside the shul, but yeah, outside the shul or outside the bar. Somebody's, you know, blowing. You have to be absolutely sure that you heard the kol shofar, not the kol avar. Here also, with regard to kfius, and you want to make a bracha on the sukkah, make sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you... that you have a kfius and therefore you can make a leishah basukkah. So for example, if you had a cup of coffee in the morning, you would not make a bracha. So our minig would be not to make a bracha leishah basukkah. But if you had coffee with a piece of cake, and if the cake is more than a kibetza, then I would tell you to make a bracha in that case. Now those
even though it's not a suda. Even that's not a suda.
So that's why I thought that maybe if a person, you know, on a daily basis, he has
11 o'clock. I have tea and cake.
Ah, that's something else. That's this gray area that's ambiguous. But I meant to say is that people like my wife, for example, the first thing she has in the morning is a cup of coffee, and that's, you know, Yom Kippur is so challenging for her because she can't get the coffee. Yet it's like a fix, you know, someone who's addicted. So she has to wean herself off the coffee for like a week before Yom Kippur. You know what I mean? But I'm saying for somebody who bekvias every day has a cup of coffee with that I think you should make a leishah basukkah.
But if someone's just doing it for lachas, then
It's 11 o'clock and he's not ready for lunch yet. You know, he's on the move.
He's not eating it at breakfast, right? Whatever it is.
Right, he's sort of like on the move.
Right.
Then I would say that's not called kvias. At least according to some poskim, and others would say that once it's a kibetzah plus, that's a mogen avram, then it has a din of tafshil shel chameshis minei dagon, because it's made out of that. I'll let you go after we finish this next Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah in Tes Zayin says the following. He says, "Kosem v'maimer Mordechai." Do you have it? Is Tes Zayin the second line? He says, "Shemisha ochal pas habo bekisnin b'shachris." Kigon betocha coffee. Mm-hmm. I know what he means by betocha coffee. I think imha coffee. I don't know. Betocha coffee. I don't know. He dips it into his coffee. I don't know. Vechayotze or other similar kinds of foods. And again, it's a kind of dessert, you know, pastry, but it's a pasabo bekisnin. Kamoshanu nog bechol yimos hashon. He says we do it the whole year round. Afal pishenu mevarech hamotzi. Right, he's not eating enough to be koveya suda. He's not filling up his belly. But kevan sheino ochel shir kidech shebnei yom lekvol mikomakom boy sukkah. Nevertheless, he does this on a regular basis. He has coffee with a piece of pastry. He has to eat that in the sukkah. Now the question is whether he makes a bracha. Let's see the next line. Shareu koveya sudaso ola fekach nogu levarchal of leishir basukkah. Again, it's not enough to be considered a full suda. You know, he's not filling up, satiating his hunger. But nevertheless, since he does this on a regular basis, it's like a suda for him, in the sense that it's necessary for him. It's not just some sort of luxury, you know, what we call a tosefes, you know, an add-on. But it's really essential to him to have this cake with his coffee in the morning. He says, in such a case, not only is he obligated to sit in the sukkah, but he's obligated to make a brach of leishev basukkah. V'nokat milsa d'shchicha, and this case of the Maimon Mordechai is very common, d'hu adin afil beloshtiyas kafeh. There are some people who will eat these pastries without drinking coffee. You know, he's using coffee just to embellish, to l'saver ta'ozen, as we say, to illustrate, very beautiful, that's a good word, to illustrate, to illustrate that it's really a kviya suda. But you could be koveya suda on this possible bekisnin even without, there's no gzeres hakosev, absolute requirement of drinking coffee. But the im lo kava sudas elik akshachal yosim kibetza. But if it's not something that really is part of his regular, you know, food intake part of his arrangement on a daily basis, just chaps around a little bit, and even if it's more than a kibetza, he says that's going to be the gray area. Yesh deus ben achronim mitzorch levarech. There are different opinions whether he should make a bracha, he should not make a bracha. And this is relevant to Kiddush on Shabbos. He says, "I am b'shari tshuva shekosav tilyin Shabbos v'yotu v'bok shemakadish v'yochel pas kislin makom suda is af she'achak holik chutz lekabel pnei rabbah chadovin imshach kamashos adzman suda kuliyama yochel levarach leishem b'suk." He says, on Shabbos and Yontif, during, let's say, Sukkos, you know, whether it's Yontif of Sukkos or Chol HaMoed Sukkos, but it's on Shabbos, and he makes Kiddush. And in that kiddush, he eats a pasavah b'kisnin. It's going to be many, many hours until he eats his main meal. That's the case, he's the scenario. He says, in such a case, he was koveya suda in order to be yotze in the midst of kiddush. He definitely had in mind, again, when I say he had in mind, I don't mean consciously, but subconsciously. He doesn't have to be the greatest scholar, but subconsciously he has in mind that he wants to be koveya suda. is the kevan shalchol sabatora suda, since he's eating this piece of cake as a suda, hitzrichol kiddush, and he needs that suda because otherwise he can't be yotze the mitzvah of kiddush. Is shapir dami shivarech birkas sukkah. It makes sense now that he should recite a bracha leishem pasuka. The fact that he's thinking in his mind he wants to be able to kiddush and he needs a suda for kiddush, that creates a kiddush, even a suda, even for something that normally would not be considered a kviyas suda because he's going to eat his main meal. This is not going to fill him up. But let's say it wasn't Shabbos and he eats a piece of cake. Is ein kedai levarech. The Mishnah Berurah gets very, this is typical, Mishnah Berurah gets very nervous and, how should I say, very inhibited about allowing you to make a bracha when there's a bit of a question. No, it's that which you do on Shabbos, for sure you need the suda, and therefore you koveh suda. That which you eat the same identical food or pastry during the week, that's not considered a kviyas suda. But now the Mishnah Berurah admits that he has to step aside. Achein minaga olam levarech af pechol. The minig is to make a leishim basukkah on cake, even during the week. So for example, if you visit me in my sukkah, and I put out, you know, my wife prepares cakes and so on, I'll tell you to make a bracha leishim basukkah. And the Mishnah Berurah says that that's the minig, although he's nervous about it. The Mishnah Berurah thinks safek brachas lahakil, when it's not clear that this is a kviyas suda. On Shabbos, for kiddush, it was a kviyas suda, but not during the week. This is certainly.
What about fruits during the week?
Fruits for sure not.
For sure.
Yeah, now you can eat. You can eat all the fruits you want.
Even though it's simplest yantif, but that's right. What I mean. You're giving. You invite the kilo over to your sukkah for sheer. It's still.
He says, you want to be super religious about it, then make sure that you don't just grab this piece of cake and eat it in the sukkah and then run out of the sukkah, but stick around for a while. Here he's hopping around the Gaon's opinion, because the Gaon says you make a bracha on yeshiva. But if he came in and he just ate the cake and he flew out, he ran out of there, then there was no yeshiva. So he should have in mind to be shoek tzas, meaning he should extend his stay in the sukkah, and therefore by doing so, he has a kiyum of yeshiva b'sukkah, and that justifies. There are more rights here that mashadogim lahokel achshav b'sheina she'en yeshenim b'sukkah rak hamadag d'kim b'mitzvah. This is why are so many people lax about sleeping in the sukkah. They sleep outside the sukkah. Yesh omrim mishum tzina. Perhaps we can justify it by saying that it's so cold, therefore if they sleep in the sukkah, it will be mitztayer potim min ha'sukkah. The Mishnah Berurah adds, "Im kei misha ein lo karim uksusos karoy v'yesh tzina ein lo lahach melishon shon." If a person doesn't have enough quilts or a heater or so in order to make it comfortable to live in the sukkah and sleep in the sukkah, then if he sleeps in the sukkah, he's a hedgel. He's like someone who sleeps in the sukkah when he's mitztayer. Again, I'm not sure that I would agree with this Mishnah Berurah at face value, because the Mishnah Berurah is talking about the case in Siv Zion of Yardu Gishamim. You know, that's considered a hedge because the sukkah is not royal yeshiva at that moment when the rain is coming down. Here, the sukkah per se could be royal to yeshiva as long as he would have the quilts. He doesn't have the quilts. That's a problem in the Gavra, not in the heft of the sukkah. And he wants to be machmer on himself. I wouldn't call him a hedgeot. I don't know if he achieves the mitzvah of sukkah or not, but I don't know. Hedgeot means when he sleeps or he eats in a place that's not, that does not have the status of a sukkah. In any event, the Ramah continues. He says, "Yesh tsar lishon b'mekomo sakarim." That if it's very cold and he sleeps in the cold, he's mitztayer. Again, you have to know, it's very hard to judge mitztayer. It might be very subjective. And you might even raise the question of someone who doesn't have his wife in the sukkah. Maybe he should be potter from sleeping in the sukkah because that's what the Ramah writes in the next line. He says, Li nir mishum de mitzvah sukkah ishu beso ish vi ishto kider shu dar kol ashana. Is potter if he can't sleep with his wife, because they don't have the privacy. If he could build his own sukkah, that's one thing. But if he has only one sukkah and it's a common sukkah for everyone, then he can sleep in the house. And if you take a look in the Mishnah Berurah, he says lefi tam ze im eino mitztak v'gon she'ein etzlo zman ona achshav. If there's no ona, if he sleeps outside of the parameters of his wife, then maybe he's not called a mitztar. Mashma mikamachron demandi efshel alishan amishta besuka deinu shiklo yevatel zman ona v'leil tefila vein lechayvo. Liachashin is davening isha yachzor l'sukos el yoshim bebeiso ad amud hashachar. He says the Ramot Tov lios shomim ishto kemoshu dar kol hashon. Kolashana im efshal lios lo sukkah cheres. You know, it would be great if he could, if it could be worked out and arranged that he could sleep in the sukkah with his wife, even if it means setting up a private sukkah. Then in Sif Gimel, the Mechaber writes achila b'sukkah b'leil yontif rishon chova. And the question now, which is a gigantic machlokas rishonim, is what's the minimum amount he has to eat in the sukkah on the first night? Whether it's the shir of achila, which is kizayis, or it's a shir of svia of kvius, which is kibetza. And that's the subject here of Sif Gimel, which you'll see here on page 208. B'li neder, we'll see if we can come back to that at some time in the future. So thanks so much for coming.